We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Yes, kingdom, 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 kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And the people were thinking kingdom. Like we think kingdom, our days it's called government, or it's called our country, or it's called different things. But kingdom, the people thought he was going to, of course, you know, overthrow the Roman kingdom, and he was going to do his kingdom, and his disciples were all excited. They were just waiting for the day he would do things that were didn't look like they were kingdom things, like kingdom, like conquering people and fighting people. But then they would still question, like, and this is us. Well, okay, yeah, I know you just healed someone and you just did this, and I don't know why you made the wine for that wedding. I don't get what you're doing. I don't know why you give and then you don't get back, like you're talking. I don't know why, I'm supposed to give my life to the, I don't get this. So I just want to know one thing, Jesus. Me and Bob here, or me and Andrew, or me and Peter, we're wondering, me and Andrew, me and John, we're wondering, when do we, take over? Like, when do we take over? Like, when do we sit at your left and your right, and, like, we start kicking butt, and everyone starts thinking we're in charge? Like, when does that happen? And Jesus is like, he even said this. Jesus said, how much longer must I put up with your dullness? He said that in one version. How much longer do I need to... You're so dull. Like, you're so dense. Like, you're so... He didn't mean... He wasn't being unloving to them. He was just saying, wake up. Like, you are so off. My kingdom is different than your kingdom. And that's what I think he's wanting to say to us today. And I think he wants to get a little bit deeper. But your kingdom, like your plan, your purpose, your goal, your life, your strategy for how to get there, would everyone just assume that I'm going to relate to you right now, okay? I'm relating to everyone because the Holy Spirit decided to give you a special gift, and he's speaking to me as I'm talking so that I say this right. All of your things that you got planned, Holden, with the wedding, all these things. Yes, that's your kingdom, okay? And some of those are great things. Making money is a great thing. Having a platform and being famous and telling people about Jesus because with using your fame, that's fine too. Not that most of us don't relate with that, but you know. Some your kids, your family, that's all good. That's very important. But they are more interconnected to a different kind of kingdom than you think. You got your plan, and all of your plans are just your plans, because God's steps are what's going to work. The steps that you take with God, what you do with God, that's going to work. I know it's a little bit hazy what I'm trying to say, but I'll get clear as we talk. We think success, accomplishments come through a certain way. If I was to say, let's give a testimony of someone that had a success this week, you might come up here and say, well, I got a new job and they gave me a raise and we were able to buy a house and I actually got to buy a car and I actually got to, I wasn't married yet and I met a girl and we got married and she's rich too and we're doing great and we love each other and we're going on the mission field we think we have our set, like, okay, this is, oh, that's blessing. That's success. But Jesus was opposite. He's upside down. I guess I would call today upside down. He wants to put it upside down. For your success isn't always based on that you were efficient. Your success isn't always based on the fact that you've been efficient this week. Oh, you've been productive this week. Look at all of the things that you, what do you think my next word is? Look at all the things that you done, you did. Okay, I did this and this and this. Oh, good job. Well, now you're doing kingdom work because you did all these things. And Jesus would say it's not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes some of the things are great. You know, it's not by faith. Faith without works is dead. You need to do some works. You need to show through action your love. But sometimes production, productive, efficiency is not the equation for your success. God wouldn't say, oh, you were a good kingdom person this week because you did. Sometimes it's only based on what you be, not what you do. What you be is more important to God than what you do. Where you go, how long you stay there. Yeah, sometimes it's very important to God. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes he's just waiting for you to be. And you have nothing to show of being Jesus to those around you, being a relationship with him. Oh, yes, we know that relationship's most important. Jesus, relationship with Jesus, right? Who would say, what's number one in our lives? Like God, our family, then maybe like our pastor, then our church. No, I'm just kidding. God, family, something else, right? God's first, but often our relationship to him is, with him is, that's the be. And we do, and we're not really being. There's a scripture in, and maybe you could find this on this, in your, I didn't give it to you, Mark chapter 14. I'm going to read, and you don't, if you don't find it, that's okay, but I'm going to read Mark chapter 14, till like verse 11, 1 through 11. I'm going to probably read a little of that. It's what? Any version. Is that what you're asking? Can you, huh? Stop? Oh, it stopped? Oh, the screen is frozen? I'm sorry, I'm it's stuck on this? Is that what you're saying? Oh, well, that's good. It can be stuck on Jesus. Some people bring their Bibles to church, or you bring a phone. You can look this up, Mark chapter 14. Churches are going to this like new way where they're putting Bibles in the church so that people will look at their Bibles instead of like the screen. Maybe we should start doing that. No, seriously, like these real modern churches, they're like getting like real like, oh, this is a new thing. Let's put Bibles on the TVs, on the chairs so that people will look at them. Mark chapter 14, there's a story of a lady, and I think it's going to explain what, because Jesus would tell something and the disciples would still be like, you might be doing right now, like, huh? What? Kingdom people? I'm still dull. And Jesus says, why are you still dull? Let me tell you a story. And often his stories, or often his actions, what he did, this is not just a story, this is something that really happened, they still didn't get it, and we might still not get it. But I think the goal with Jesus and living for his kingdom is not always understanding, but it's always being challenged, okay? Mark chapter 14, he says this. Now the Passover... I still keep looking there, I'm sorry. Now the Passover, the festival, were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus. Oh, man, this doesn't seem so good. Jesus is supposed to be building a kingdom, and now they're scheming to arrest him. Well, you've only been here like 2 years, 2.5 years, and they're already arresting you? That's not an equation for success, right? Accomplishment. You haven't done a lot, Jesus. Now it's caving in on you. While he was still there in Bethany, reclining at another table of another person's house where people were questioning, should you be with this person or not? At the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Part of what I saw with you, my sister, Lisa, I don't mean to keep saying, is kind of, I don't know if this lady was some versions and some stories of this in different parts of the Bible. They say maybe she was like a bad person. Some don't say anything. They just say her name was Mary. But regardless of that part, I think you would be the kind of person that would do something like this, pour this. And the people were like this. She poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, no one would do this here, but maybe you would, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. It was like that expensive, this oil. And Jesus didn't seem bothered by it. And he said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. What's there? You're looking behind me. That's why it's there. I might go on with this, but I want to say this. When you give to God, when you do something for God this week, next week, when you start, when God asks you to do things that you thought, this is kind of like too much. I'm not going to do this. When you do things for God, people around you might say, what a waste. Like, what are you doing? This is a waste. This isn't kingdom. This isn't smart. This is dumb, what you're doing. But Jesus says, I'm of a different kingdom. And he wants kingdom. He wants people to be like him. And he'll ask you to do things, and people will judge you for it. They'll say, you could have used this for a whole year's wages. The guy that said it probably was Judas, because Judas was in charge of the money, and he was probably going to extort some of that money. So he said, come on, give us the, let us have this perfume. We could have sold it. We could have made a lot of money. I could have made a little bit on the side as well. That's how we think. That's how we assume. We always look so practically and logically. And Jesus wasn't bothered. Jesus is like, leave her alone. What she's doing is a good thing. It's beyond you. He even went so far as to say, she's even anointing me for burial. And the people were blown, like, what the heck do you mean by that? You're being anointed. And what he was making a point is, when you do something for God, don't always categorize it. Okay, here, this is good. I just got spoke to. When you do something to God, don't always categorize it. Like, I did this, so that probably fits under the slot of serving or doing something good for God, or something good, something even good. Don't even call it good. God went on when he was talking about the kingdom to someone else. He said, who are you calling good? Nothing's good. Only God is good. Making a point that no good thing, you can't do anything that's going to get you any points in the kingdom. God already loves you as much as he's going to love you. And so when you do something, don't always categorize like, oh, it fits here. Because sometimes what you do isn't going to fit anywhere. I remember I remember as a youth pastor, I'm going to pat myself on the back with this. I've never told this story, and I just want to say how great I was in doing this. No, that's not my point. One of our youth leaders, one of my helpers, needed $2,000 to get his car, like, something. Like, he couldn't go to work or something. And for some dumb reason, I was so broke at the time, like, so broke. I didn't even tell Cynthia about it. I was like, I'm not even going to tell her. That was the wrong thing to do, by the way. You need to keep those things together, make it a decision together. But I gave him $2,000, and I expected, like Amanda said, well, the more I give, the more I'm blessed, because when I sow, I reap, and the more I sow, I'll reap more. So good job. I'm ready, God. Here it comes, right? And he never paid me back. It was so awkward, and I won't go into the story, but he was served on my team, and I see him every week, and he said, I can't pay you back. I can never pay you back. And then one day he disappeared. And I'm like, oh my gosh, $2,000. What could I do with $2,000? I'm already in debt. I already have a credit card of who knows how much. And now I got to tell Cynthia I gave away $2,000 and I didn't, and the guy's not going to bless me. And of course, she responded fine. Like, I guess give it unto God and see what happens. You know, God will take care of the rest. I didn't get blessed from that, and at least in the way I saw. I never got it paid back. I got burnt. And I want to say this. You might have 100 disappointments this week. You might have 1,000 things go wrong. You might say, was this good or was this bad? Don't ask those questions all the time. Now, what I'm saying is paradoxical because sometimes you do need to ask those questions. And I'm going to close here because I want to be done at 11:15 to get us out of here. But don't ask always, is it good or bad? If I was to go, like it was something as simple as this, as this service, as this worship time. If someone asked you, if they said, how do you think it went? And you say, it went good. And someone else might say, no, it went bad. Someone else might say, oh my gosh, I was needing that word, that, and then that song, peace, whatever the word was, it spoke to me. I was looking for it, and it spoke to me. It changed my life. I will never be the same. Someone might hear a portion of the sermon online in 9 years that lives in Algeria, and they are touched because they needed that word right then. How do I know if my sermon was good or bad? You can't always judge things by our kingdom. Because God said, Jesus was always saying, I'm of another kingdom. I'm looking beyond you. Like, you're so dull. Like, how much longer must I put up with you? He told the people in his own town, I can't really do much here. Like, I can do a couple of miracles, but then I need to move on because you're not tracking. You're not believing. You don't have faith in where I'm going. And God is looking for a man in this room, a woman in this room who's like, Jesus, whatever you ask, I will do. I will be a part of. I want to say something here. What if we base sermons on were they good? In the world's eyes, looking at Jesus. Like Jesus, some of his sermons, people said, this guy's got a demon. Let's get him out of town. Let's stone him. Let's knock him off the side of the cliff. Let's get him arrested. Let's get him killed. That's what people thought of his sermons. Yet today, his words are everlasting, aren't they? They're still changing lives. Jesus didn't build the kind of kingdom they had hoped for. His kingdom didn't rely on the same kind of accomplishments and success. He certainly didn't live for...
Job, Jesus, that was good standing ovation. Awesome. Yes, this man, this guy.
Yes, let's friend him on Facebook and Instagram, and he needs to become famous. No. Hardly any people really even knew him. He was a couple hundred miles from his house, was as far as people knew him. A lot of people didn't even recognize him when he came to town because no one had seen him before. He didn't live by the applause of man. And then in his third year, he was already being killed. Yet, I want to say this, and maybe this should be a good close. What's like the worst thing that could happen to a person? Like that's... Change. I'm here to change the world. My kingdom is finally here, and I'm going to rearrange. I'm going to turn things upside down, and you're going to all go to heaven. It's going to be amazing. So this is what we're going to do. You're healed. You're healed. You're healed. You're delivered. You're saved. You're forgiven. All these amazing miracles. It's starting to build momentum. Oh my gosh, people are actually starting to notice. Jesus even was saying, don't tell anyone what I just did, because he didn't want any momentum. He didn't need the momentum. Don't even tell anyone. They're talking about a story in the little kids' class over there. I think all the kids came together today, so they're all in one class today. And they're talking about the story of Jairus' daughter. She was dead. Jesus came and raised her back to life. The first thing Jesus said is, get her something to eat. She's hungry. And don't tell anyone about this, okay? Because doesn't need. He wasn't about spreading the word. His kingdom was going to take over regardless. He was going to take over our hearts. We were going to come to meet him. And then the worst thing, I said, what is the worst thing that could ever happen? We die. They killed Jesus. Yet what was probably the greatest accomplishment Jesus did was he was killed because of his death. When he was dead, he went to hell, got the keys of death, got the keys of sin, unlocked our cage of sin so that we can be free. And then that was not enough, which thankfully he did this. He rose from the dead to tell us. That's what I did. And I'm alive today, and I'm more than willing to help you. But you trust me. Just trust me. So I would say this. Come on up, Paul, to make this sound a little bit spiritual as we close today. I'm just saying that kind of joking. But everything is spiritual in our lives. Sometimes we just don't realize it. But as we're closing today, I guess I would just challenge you with this. I keep wanting to look at this. Be. Don't necessarily do. You came to church today. Well, good job for me, right? That should get me something with Jesus. Oh, this was a big waste of time because I came to church and heart and so when the girl I wanted to meet was not here today or whatever. Or I came to church, I was expecting them to sing Waymaker because I like this. What a waste of time. Or I got this job and now I've lost it. What a waste of time. I invested in this person. I gave them my life. They came to my house every Tuesday. We watched Everybody Loves Raymond together. We ate ice cream together. I really did this with a guy named TJ. Yet now what is TJ doing? I don't know. That was a waste. What a waste of time. And Jesus would say, no, none of what you're doing. Don't look at it in your eyes. Your job, your dead-end job, your dead-end marriage. No, I'm just kidding. No. Your dead-end relationship, your dead-end bank account. Like, it all doesn't make sense to me. It's not good. But Jesus might say, it's not bad either. Just don't judge it. I got kingdom things I'm working here. Nothing you do is a waste. You gave to that person at the corner, and who knows what they spent it on. And I'm not saying everyone should go out and do this today and just look at you're such a kingdom person. But if God calls you to do something that's unusual, don't be questioning what's in it for me, Jesus. Because isn't it supposed to be that to live for Jesus, we get celebrated and applauded and get lots of likes on Instagram? I know that really speaks to Eddie. He's like, what's Instagram, right? Isn't that what we're called? No, Jesus said, to live, you must die. The more you die, the more you'll see your miracles. The more fruit will come. When your seed dies, I don't know if a seed dies in your womb, but it transforms and it looks different. And you think, what is going on? But then what happened? I know this, when a seed goes in the ground, it dies. And you think, oh, it's over, it's dark, it's obscure, it's in hidden, it's no one can see it. It's over, it died, it's history. Your seeds that go, just because it's dark, just because no one sees what you did, doesn't mean that it's not gonna turn into the largest mustard tree there ever was, the smallest seed, and the big turns into the biggest tree. Jesus said, my kingdom's like the mustard seed. Don't conclude that's it, whatever you're doing for God. I think that's the best way we can be Jesus people. It's just live lightly. Give here, hug here, love here, forgive here, say sorry here, move on from that job, be faithful, 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 faithful. And then watch the fruit come. Don't question. Don't doubt. Don't complain. Don't criticize. Don't assume. You know what assuming does? I could close with that. It makes a, do you know? A-S-S-U-M-E makes an S out of you and an S out of me. Assume, that's what it does. Don't assume. Jesus knows what he's doing. Would you bow your heads or would you stand your feet? We're closing. We're out of here. Lord, we love you today. We praise you today. We exalt you today. We lift you up in this place. Would you raise your hands and lift him up in this place? Say, Jesus, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about my accomplishment. It's not about what I do. It's not about what I've done. It's not about what people think of me. It's not about getting applauded or getting a pat on the back. Although all of those things are nice, it's not about being loved. I wish that more people would love me. But God would say this to somebody, and I'm not making this up. I heard this somewhere. Sometimes it's better to be more than be widely known. It's better to be well known. Why? It's better to be, rather than be widely known by everyone, it's better to be well known by one. By one. And that's not John. That's not me. That's Jesus. It's better. It doesn't matter if a whole bunch of people know what you did. Widely known is great, but well known by one is better. He wants you and him to be so close that everywhere you go, everything you do is in a different kingdom. And in that different kingdom, there's more fruitfulness, truly. There's more success, truly. You just might not see it on this side. And you probably will often see some of it. Because I have. I've seen a lot of success. I've seen a lot of blessing come. But usually the blessing doesn't come when I'm trying to let my left hand know what my right hand did. It's usually when I just give it. Just give it. And it's not always money. Like she said, it's our lives. I'm going to speak even with evangelism. We're horrible at telling people about Jesus. They want what we have. They want Christ. Christ created them. He's inside of them. They just need to wake Christ up inside of them and say, hey, he's there. And they say, oh, I always wanted what you gave me, but I didn't even realize that there was a God-sized void that I didn't know until you told me. Would you give away a little bit of yourself to someone? Would you smile at them? Would you compliment them? And not because they deserve it, and not worried that you're going to look bad, because it's really not about what you look like, is it? It's not really about anything about us. The more you look bad for God, it's probably better. It's probably better. That's kingdom people. All right, we're out of here. Lord, we give you ourselves. We give you our lives. We pray we be surrendered to you in all.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.